Hello, and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. This is Charles in New Jersey, and I'm back with another show. This time it's also not about math. It's called What's in My Bag? Actually, this will be What's in My Bags, because I did an inventory of both of the bags that I carried to work today. And today would be Monday, 12 May, 2014. So I had two bags today. Both of them are black. One was a lunch bag, and the other was the bag in which I carry my computers and other stuff that I need for work. It's a busy day because I had two computers in the bag and various amounts of stuff, so it'll be a fairly long list. I'll start with the computer bag. I suppose I should mention what is my bag, and that is, today I was carrying a black Tumi T-Tech messenger bag, the one that would go for more like 80 euros as opposed to the 300 euro type that they usually sell. It has a padded shoulder strap, a big pocketed flap because it's a messenger bag, and side pockets and compartments riddled all the way through it. Let's start with the flap pocket. Now you'll hear rustling papers instead of the click, click and clack of stuff, because I wrote this inventory when I was on the train. You can imagine what the other passengers thought as I was taking stuff out of my bag and writing down every little thing that I took out. So let's look inside the flap pocket. It has a zippered pocket, and so let me see what's in there. First was my monthly train pass, which I then put around my neck because it's in a wearable pouch. The pouch was made out of a leather luggage tag holder, and it's got an adjustable string for hanging around my neck so I don't have to keep taking it out for the conductor on the train or put it into the slot where someone could take it or I could leave it behind. It also has a little pocket in the back for some extra one-way tickets, which comes in handy. And then I pulled out my building pass, my access badge, that I use to get into the office building where I work, and it's got one of those cute little belt clips with a retracting reel and a cord on it to have the badge hanging from my belt so I can just grab it and wave it over the turnstile to get in the building. See, I also had five blank CDR disks for doing file transfers for people who still use those. I had a small wire-bound memo pad, 3 by 5 inches, or about 7.6 by 12.7 centimeters. It's made by Ampad. It's model 20-867. Then I had another small notepad that I got as a thank you gift from St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, and that's about 9 by 15 centimeters. Then I had a Zoom H1 Handy Recorder Quick Start Guide, a shoe polishing cloth still in its original plastic from New Jersey Transit with a, looks like a train system map, and a dire warning about terrorism and calling it in. Then I had a small 4-in-1 mini screwdriver, all black, with a couple of different standard head and Phillips head screwdriver blades. That's general model 744. Then I've got a silver colored stainless steel ballpoint pen by Schaefer with gold colored trim. And then I had three microfiber lens cleaning cloths for my glasses, or screens, I guess. Two of them are 20 centimeters on a side, square. One is purple, one is black, and then there's a smaller one that's 15 centimeters aside, also square, from the optical shop in Princeton, New Jersey, and that's more of a magenta color. And then I found my Sansa clip zip. It's black, 8 gigabytes of internal memory, and a 32 gigabyte micro SD card for storing other stuff. And then I had another mini screwdriver set, another 4-in-1 by Lutz, that's black with yellow end caps. It's also a 4-in-1. I think I mentioned that. And that was it for the big flap pocket. So then I turned to the side. There's a zippered side pocket on either side of the Tumi bag. And as I'm holding the bag with the flap facing out, I opened the left side pocket, which is long and thin on the edge of the bag. And in there I found basically a bunch of writing tools. I had a stainless steel Parker Jotter ballpoint pen. I like that because it has a fairly fine point and quick dry ink, which is helpful because I'm left-handed and I tend to drag my hand through what I've just written. And then I had a couple of cheap Bic mechanical pencils. Both of them are number 2. One was a 0.7 millimeter lead, black with yellow pocket clip. And the other one was my preferred lead size, which would be a 0.5 millimeter with a black cushioning grip. I don't really need that, but it was there. And it's dark blue with the cushion grip was black, and the black pocket clip had broken off, but it still fits in the bag. Finally, there was a beige Pentel Click Eraser, model ZE2IT, and that just covers me when I make mistakes. I don't think it's refillable, but it is retractable, and I can use it and just erase and not wipe out the top end of all my mechanical pencils. So I zipped up my left-hand pocket and went to the right side pocket. And I had 3 identical black GraphGear 500 mechanical pencils by Pentel, all of them 0.5 millimeter. And that's model PG Papa Golf 525, Papa Golf hyphen 525. And then I had a brushed stainless Pentel GraphGear 1000 mechanical pencil, also 0.5 millimeter, and that one is model PG Papa Golf hyphen 1015. And that does it for the side pockets. So now I tilt the briefcase forward and check the rear external zippered pocket, which is empty, and that makes sense because I just switched back to this bag from my L.L. Bean orange and black computer bag on Thursday, 8 May. So I guess I'm not surprised that I didn't put anything in the back zippered pocket. So now let's go inside. So I click the catch release on the big flap and swing it back over, so I can look inside. Now, on the outer layer, there are some front pockets, 2 of them, left and right, and that's relative to looking over the case from the back. A natural way to hold it if you're sitting in the train seat and trying to take notes at the same time. Let's see, I had a set of white headphones for an iPod, which has a non-working volume control. But since my Sansa ClipZip doesn't know from Apple volume controls, they work just fine. I then had the coolest device or tchotchka I ever got from a professional meeting, from a swag booth, and that was a double-ended laptop brush and screen cleaner that was given to me by Prior Executive Search. It's an actuarial search firm in the U.S. Hi, Pauline. And it's sort of a grayish color with a white squiggly divider between the two halves. And on one side, when you remove the end cap, you have a keyboard brush to get dust and debris out from between your keys. Especially on a laptop, it works really nicely. And then when you cap that and open the other end, you get something that looks like what we used to call a miracle brush. It's a dust remover for your laptop screen. And that's on the other side, and that also has its cap, and it rides nicely in a laptop bag pocket, which it's doing in my laptop bag. And That does it for the left pocket. Let's go to the right pocket. And there is just a 1.5 meter Cat5 Ethernet patch cable. It's dark blue with RJ45 connectors on either end, like those big phone plugs, oversized plugs that look like they should be phone plugs. And it still has the original wire twist ties because I was carrying it for a particular purpose and I didn't have to use it that day. So that's it for the front pockets. Now let's go look inside the main compartment. And that has, oh no, it's not inside the main compartment. It's still on the front face of the inner bag. It has another set of pockets on a layer inside that, which I guess adds stiffness and protection to the bag and gives me another set of pockets. And let's see, that one has, yeah, the outer pockets are sewn into this one. And that has my main key ring with the orange squiggly rubber armband-like thing. It's on there not because I need a squiggly armband, but the orange squiggly armband has my keys. And there's another key ring that looks very similar that has a blue squiggly armband, and that's my wife's, so that we don't grab the wrong set of keys. Let's see what keys are on there, just for fun. Got the house and garage keys for our townhome. I've got a set of keys for my desk at work. We have the kids' apartment key. I'm a grandfather, so we back them up sometimes. And if they need us to go do something at their apartment or receive a package, we can go do that. Our apartment complex has a common area with a gym and a business center and a theater room. And we have a strange, large, plastic, black thing that acts like a key that we can use to get in there. Got a mailbox key and a ShopRite Price Plus Club key card that's registered to someone else that I use to get coupon deals at a grocery store where we shop sometimes. Okay, then I have a couple of accessories for my Zoom H1 handy recorder. One is a stainless tripod, and the other is a black plastic hand grip. I noticed that I'm such a Grozniak that I still introduce a little bit of handling noise when I use that, but it's better than a handheld Zoom. When you're using a Zoom H1, please do yourself a favor and be sure that you've pressed the record button. Okay, now that's it for in there. Now there's an inner pouch inside that pocket. And in the left side, I had a couple of business cards and a Dell Bluetooth mini travel mouse, a Papa Uniform 705 model. It's working and has batteries, which is good. In the inner pouch had a right inner pocket, and that's where my Zoom H1 mini USB to USB, mini USB to USB 2.0 cable lives. And then the inner pouch in front has a small handheld hairbrush. It's a regular decagon in shape. It's about 10 centimeters in diameter. Has a small finger ring on top for grip and control. I think it might have been a regular hexagon once, but it's been riding in a computer bag for quite a while, so it's a little bit squashed, that ring. Let's see. I also had a 5-meter light green Cat5 patch cable for Ethernet, and that has been used. Then I had the two power adapters, both 65 watts, different voltages, one for my Dell Latitude E Echo 4310 laptop that I use for work that runs Windows 7, ick. The other one is for my Sony Vaio TX17P, 11-inch mini laptop that runs Crunchbang Linux Waldorf. Its name is Derringer. I got it in August of 2007 as a closeout deal where it was running XP back when we thought XP was going away. And then I have a USB to power adapter, a USB mini, I guess. I'm not sure what it's for. It's still in the twist tie, so it's not used. I'm sure I had a purpose for it once. Okay, let's move on to the center zipped compartment, which has two outer patch pockets. The left one's empty. The right one is also empty. Oh, and there's one in the middle. Well, that has three pen slots that are all empty, and a center pocket that has little bits in it. Has a company pin for my company, two plastic collar stays for shirts, and a very old SanDisk Cruiser Micro USB stick with a 2.0 gig capacity. I have no idea what's on it. I have a feeling that I used it as recently as, say, 2007. Okay, now let's go to another area in the inner bag. There's an area between the big zippered center pouch, the everything pocket, and the laptop retainer where the two computers are. Now, this looks like it's mostly papers. And one is my notebook, in which I wrote down all this stuff that I salvaged from the kids' trash when they moved once. It's a blue spiral-bound, originally 100-sheet, college-ruled model by Mead, 06622, if you want to get one, and a copy of Best Review magazine from May 2014. The cover says data-driven, so I think that's the latest. Then I have an outline of an ERM system. Oh, a set of components that we wanted to write a specification for an ERM system that would be useful to build. Go into ERM some other day. Let's see. A document, Bermuda Monetary Authority Guidance Note Number 17 on Commercial Insurer Risk Assessment from November of 2008. I've got a printed copy of the show notes from HPR 1502. I have a listing of code in the R programming language for a proprietary risk model prototype that doesn't work, and I have to fix that at some point. Okay, then I've got a letter-sized pad of white-lined paper from Office Depot that's about half-used, and oh my goodness, there's a third-generation iPod Nano. It's the red color. And it looks to be quite dead. And underneath all that is a Sharpie highlighter pen, yellow, with smear guard. I'm sure I'm glad it has smear guard. Okay, let's move on to the laptop compartment in the side that's toward me, because the back of the bag is against me in the train seat. And the first computer is a Dell Latitude E4310 with Windows 7. It's got 4 gig of RAM, 320-ish gigabyte hard drive, 13-inch screen, I think maximum resolution around 1366 by 768, and its lease is going to expire in November of this year. There's other software on it. Maybe I'll talk about that sometime. And then my 11-inch Sony Vaio laptop, Derringer. I name my home computers, but not my work computer. It's been running Linux since April of 2008, which is good, running full-time on Linux. Different distributions, but it's been on Crunchbang for quite a long time because it runs really nicely on it. On a Core Solo processor like that one. I think the clock speed's 1.2 megahertz, so it's not especially fast or powerful, but on Crunchbang and for the things I use it for, it's just fine. Okay, then I have a printed document between the computers to keep them from scratching one another, and that is a set of instructions written in color, so the paper is thick, for using the Podium recording software used by the Casualty Actuarial Society, where I'll be speaking in about a week or so. Okay, we're getting towards the end. And now I'm going to the inner bag, the center zipped compartment, the everything pocket. And in there, what do we have? Got two smartphone power cords that are components, so they have a separate transformer plug that is plugged in, and a USB, micro USB to USB cable that runs between the devices. An iPad power cord that doubles as an iPod charger if I switch out the little transformer brick for one of the smartphone transformer plugs. I have a wooden top that was a friend of mine turned on a lathe, and that's handy when I'm on grandpa duty. I can pull it out and start playing it, and my four-year-old grandson can watch it go and say, "Hey, give me that," and then keeps him occupied for a while. I have yet another mini USB to USB cable in its original wrapper. I have two pairs of black sport shoelaces. They look a little thick, and they're 97 centimeters. I have a green ballpoint pen from TD Bank, which is now in the States. It was a Canadian bank. I have a little bottle of eyeglass lens cleaning fluid. It's 10 milliliters, or what, about a third of a fluid ounce in the U.S. I have a little box of Glide Pro Health dental floss, 4 meters was the original size. I have my Samsung Galaxy S3 smartphone, the one from my company. It runs on the T-Mobile network. Ka-ching. I've got a short USB cable that came with the Sans Eclipse. It's micro USB to USB, which is redundant because I have all those others. I've got a Samsung travel adapter transformer plug that would have give with which with that little short cable gives me yet another power cord for smart devices. I have a tube of Kiehl's lip balm number 1, which is a 15 milliliter tube. And then I have a tiny Brookstone Leatherman style multi-tool that has a non-working flashlight, and it has a small pair of pliers, tiny little scissors, a screwdriver, both standard and Phillips head, a cap lifter, which New Englanders will know as a church key, a nail file on the side of the church key, and a very small but very sharp knife blade. I see there's one small binder clip in case I print a document, don't have a way to staple it or clip it. And then there's the final content, which is the Ziploc bag of everything. And what does that have in it? Well, it has 4 unlabeled CDs with offline reading documents that I copied from my work computer, all non-proprietary stuff that is just taking up space. My Zoom H1 sound recorder in its leather-like case. It might actually be leather, but I couldn't tell you. And then there's a small rectangle of red paper that has on the front, it has sort of a heading, www.french.about.com, and then 2 bullet points using hyphens as the bullets. One is chapitre, and the other one is amazon.fr, and a question mark on each of those. I am not sure where that came from, but there you go. Okay, then I have a plastic case with 2 little micro SD adapters. One goes from micro to full SD, and the other one adapts from micro SD to mini SD. It'd be handy when I want to take the card out of the H1 and put it into some other device. Okay, I see I have a stereo out cable that I could use. It's got 3.5 millimeter connectors on each end, so I could connect something from a headphone jack of one device to, a sound in port or an aux plug from another stereo or sound making device. I have, oh boy, another mini SD to USB 2 cable. Then I have a Western Digital mini USB to God knows what cable. I have no idea why it's in there or what its purpose was, but it's in there. And five more pairs of collar stays in case I have a shirt that doesn't button down and need them. And then I had a cartridge of Pentel Super HB Hotel Bravo 0.5 millimeter pencil leads model Charlie 505. And that's it for the computer bag. And now I'll go to my other bag, which is a lunch bag. And what's in there? Well, my lunch bag is a black insulated bag with a foil-like lining that I purchased for $10 US at the end of 2010 from the Brown Cow restaurant in Newport, Vermont, which is where I grew up and my mother still lives. And let's see, what's in there? It's a really good bag, and if you're in the Northeast Kingdom of Vermont, which I'm sure all of you are dying to visit, you should stop in and have breakfast. So what's in my lunch bag? The first thing that went in were two plastic cooling bricks. They're filled with some kind of cooling medium that I throw in the freezer at night, and I take it out in the morning, and it's basically two blocks of ice inside nice, safe, blue plastic prison. I throw it into my lunch bag, and it keeps it nice and cool until I'm ready to eat lunch. I have six Starbucks napkins that I rescued from my coat pocket from a weekend trip somewhere. And I have an orange spork that was made by a Swedish company under the brand Light My Fire that we purchased from the container store. And then I've got a Rubbermaid container with my secret concoction that I'm sure all of you will want a copy. And it's very simple. It's about 225 grams of 2% Faye Greek yogurt and about 28 grams of toasted wheat germ, Kretschmer or whatever suits your fancy. I don't like raw wheat germ. It usually gets rancid almost instantly, or it tastes rancid, right, even when it's fresh. And then just to make it extra awesome, I put in a tablespoon of sesame oil, and I just stir it up, and I've got nice little way to kickstart my lunch. And then I've got three sandwich-sized Ziploc bags with chopped raw vegetables. Today I had carrot, red pepper, and a cucumber, and that kept me crunching for a very long time. Eating like this with, protein and some vegetable, or in this case, wheat germ as a substitute, a little bit of oil to add what I don't get from bread because I'm not eating that. And of course a lot of chopped vegetables. So I'm always the best friend of my produce man. I've lost about 60 pounds. So, something's working, and even spending all that money on fresh food and keeping the rule, if it's convenient, spit it out. I feel better and, look better and don't have, as many aches and pains as I used to. So that's all good. And that's it for my lunch bag. That's it for what's in my bag. And that's it for this episode. I hope that you've enjoyed some of the ridiculous detail to which I've gone. Oh, my spork is orange, in case I didn't mention that. Orange is right up there on my list of favorite colors. And so, having divulged all this stuff about my bags, I bid you adieu and hope to listen to your episode very soon on Hacker Public Radio. Record a show, won't you? Take care. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRef projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.